It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. It's Wednesday, May the 2nd, and you're listening to KCAW Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. There will soon be fewer seiners allowed to fish in southeast Alaska. A majority of the fleet has voted to pay for an industry-funded buyback program. Supporters say it will mean less competition on the fishing grounds, while opponents say it isn't worth the cost to remaining permit holders. Matt Lichtenstein has details.
The plan passed by a substantial margin, and there was a good turnout. Nearly three-quarters of the region's 379 seine permit holders sent ballots into the National Marine Fisheries Service, which is administering the program. 215 of those seiners voted yes, and 54 voted no. That means the plan moves forward.
We were really pleased to see that. You know, it sounded a lot closer, but really pleased to see that it was a significant margin.
Fishermen and Southeast Alaska Seiners Association Executive Director Bob Thorsenson has long advocated for the buyback. It will pay out a total of over $13 million to retire 64 seine permits from fishermen who agreed to the deal prior to the vote. The program was initiated by an industry group called the Southeast Revitalization Association. The money comes from a federal loan, which the rest of the fleet will have to pay back. The association projects it could be paid off in 7 years, with each fisherman paying a fee based on 3% of their landings. That percentage could drop if the fee brings in more the revenue than expected, so Thorsenson thinks the assessment will be closer to 1% after a couple of years.
Yeah, but that's a very small price to pay to re-limit limited entry for the purse seine fleet was jacked up to numbers that were unsustainable back when this fishery began as limited entry fishery.
The first limited entry permits for seiners were issued in 1975. Ultimately, 419 people qualified for them. A smaller grant-funded buyback program in 2008 helped reduce that number to current levels. With improving markets for Alaska salmon, participation has been on the upswing in the last several years. Thorsenson and other buyback proponents say that by reducing the number of permits again, the seine fishery will retain its value or grow more valuable for the remaining fleet. Many seiners rely on a variety of other fisheries besides salmon, but Thorsenson emphasizes that salmon, with its increasing price, has grown more important for their businesses.
We're going to see chum salmon probably in about 20 and about a quarter this summer, which is the highest it's been for about a quarter century. And pink salmon prices over 50 cents, possibly 60 cents, which is the highest they've been in the quarter century. So salmon is going to be more and more of a contributing factor to guys' bottom line. I think it's going to be a real positive thing, both for the skippers and the crew of the same fleet.
Thorsenson acknowledges that the buyout has been a tough sell for some permit holders, but he thinks the economic benefits will be more evident after a couple of years. Opponents cite a variety of concerns, one of which is that the program is inflating the value of seine permits, making it tougher for new participants to buy in. The buyback will pay out an average of about $205,000 per permit. That's significantly higher than recent market prices. According to Alaska's Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, Southeast seine permits sold for an average of $129,000 in 2011 and $168,000 just this past March. Petersburg Seiner Charlie Christensen is one of the permit holders who voted against the buyout.
And I've been against it the whole time, still against it. It's a colossal waste of money that we've had this many boats since limited entry we managed to muddle through. I think it's more greed than anything else. You're going to get these permits down to so few and so expensive that nobody can get started in it and fish anymore. And the buyback programs, I've never been in favor of any of them. They don't seem to work very well for anybody.
Christensen thinks only those who supported the buyout should have to pay for it. As it is, he and the rest of the remaining seiners will start paying for the program this season, and the 64 people who are selling their permits will get paid up front with the federal loan. Mike Sturtevant is the Fishing Capacity Reduction Program Manager for the National Marine Fisheries Service.
We hope to complete paying everybody by the end of June and start fee collection on catches. 3% fee will be tagged on to all future catches, hopefully around July 1st.
A notice about the program's passage is expected to be published in the Federal Register soon. After that, according to Sturtevant, anyone with a financial stake in any of the 64 permits has a month to take whatever action they need to take before those permits are gone. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
Commercial gill netters and trawlers in the Petersburg and Wrangell area will be targeting king salmon in the marine waters near the Stikine River starting early next week. The District 8 king season was closed for the previous 3 years because the Stikine runs were not big enough to fish. This year, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is projecting nearly 41,000 large kings will return, which is enough for a commercial harvest. Troy Tinas is the area management biologist.
Now, in terms of this forecast, it's probably over the long term about an average size king salmon run for the Stikine River. In short term, it's actually under average because we've had some very large returns in the early 2000s. And what we've seen here this forecast compared to past years is above the last 3 years' preseason forecast and pretty similar to the 2007 and 2008 forecast.
The Stikine River's king salmon run is shared between Alaska and Canada under the Pacific Salmon Treaty. Based on the preseason forecast, Alaska is allowed a total catch of just under 5,900 kings, including commercial and sport landings. Canada's share is about 6,800 fish. Alaska's target could change later this month, though, when the state comes up with an in-season forecast based on actual returns to the river.
You know, the in-season forecast comes when they have gathered enough data from the in-river stock assessment programs projects there, and that usually takes probably at least 3 weeks, and they're going to start that project here, I think, sometime this week.
Tinas thinks the in-season forecast will likely be out in the third or fourth week of May. The first Stikine King opener is slated for Monday, May 7th. With just 1 day of fishing for gill netters and 3 days for trawlers, Tinas says the department is taking a conservative approach.
And the reason for that is what we've seen here. Basically, since 2008, we've seen a period of decreased run size and a period where our preseason forecast has been an over-forecast of the terminal run size, especially so the last few years, 2009 through 2011. So we're going into this very cautiously.
The last time the Stikine area fishery was open in 2008, the preseason forecast was about 46,000 fish, but the final return ended up at about 10,000 short of that. The Stikine fishery typically wraps up by mid-June when the regular gillnet season opens and the fleet starts targeting sockeye around the region. Along with the commercial harvest, sport fishermen also get more opportunity to land Stikine Kings this year. For instance, sport anglers fishing in District 8 are allowed to use two rods each from the 1st of May through the 15th of July. There's a similar story in the Juneau area, District 11, where commercial fishermen will get a chance to target kings returning to the Taku River this month. Juneau area sport anglers will also see liberalized rules. Fish and Game's preseason forecast for the Taku is about 48,000 kings, and Alaska is allowed to catch 6,700. Students from Blatchley Middle School found themselves in college earlier this spring, at least for a day. The students participated in I'm Going to College Day at the University of Alaska Southeast here in Sitka. Sixth graders spent a half day at UAS learning about course offerings and the college experience. Student reporter Goldie Blackson took along an audio recorder and filed this report.
My name is Goldie Blackson, and I'm in sixth grade at Blatchley Middle School. We were at Go to College Day at UAS, and we were going to different stations and learning about different careers.
Oh, you're here for the first time too? Okay, well, welcome to you too. So, I think all of you know my name's Maureen Chapman. You probably know Laura, my daughter. And what we're going to do today is we're going to dissect an eyeball.
We got to actually, do the activities that we would be doing in those jobs. Like, for construction, we built a box, and for science, we dissected a cow eyeball.
Okay, eyeballs!
It was really cool, but it was also really gross, and our eyeball squirted.
Everybody got gloves? Everybody got eye protection?
How do we put these on?
Yeah, these well squirt a little, so.
In the science, we also did a thing about hatcheries. We learned how they catch the fish and tag them. I really liked nursing because we got to do a lot of stuff like taking blood pressure and how to listen to a heartbeat and what it looked like to be drunk. We put on goggles over our eyes that made everything look distorted. One of the things we did was took a quiz to see what kind of careers we would be good for. Do you like hands-on work or more work with computers? Do you like kids? Do you like art? Stuff like that.
And skip it if it's not a yes.
They gave us a package, and it had a bunch of stuff to start planning for what careers we could have. I don't really know what I want to do, but I really think that was fun, learning about the careers.
That's Blatchley Middle School student reporter Goldie Blackson on her experience in late March at the I'm Going to College Day. The event at UAS Sitka was one of many around the country designed to encourage young people to consider heading to college after they graduate from high school. Curbside recycling is coming to Alaska's capital. The waste transportation company Aero Refuse is offering subscriptions to its new curbside pickup service. The company says it will issue 96-gallon carts and collect aluminum, steel and tin cans, mixed paper, newspaper, cardboard, and plastic. Pickup will be every 2 weeks, and the cost for residents will be $3.11 a month. If Juneau residents don't want curbside service, they can continue to participate in source-separated recycling offered by the municipality at Lemon Creek. And that's it for Raven News for this hour. It's just about 1 minute after the hour of 8 o'clock, and you are listening to KCAW in Sitka. And we're looking at some light rain in Sitka, temperature 40 degrees, southeast winds at 10 miles an hour this morning. And rainy conditions on the way for the rest of the week. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.